Welcome back to The Deep Dive. It is Tuesday, February 17th, 2026. And if you've been glancing at your news feeds this morning, you might be feeling a distinct sense of cognitive dissonance. Because on one screen, you're seeing robots that move with more grace than a human gymnast, doing things that physically shouldn't be possible. And on the other screen, you're seeing the world's biggest tech CEOs panicking because they can't get the sand, the silicon, to make the brains for them.
It really is a split-screen reality right now. We're living in this strange moment where the machinery looks like it fell out of a sci-fi movie from the future, but the supply lines and, you know, the social trust holding it all together feel, well, medieval might be a stretch, but certainly fragile.
That is the theme we are pulling out of this stack of sources today.
Yeah.
Fragility versus capability. We've got six heavy-hitting sources to get through, ranging from a massive showdown at the Pentagon to the inside of an Amazon warehouse where the bosses aren't human anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to start with the red alert coming out of Davos.
Yeah, usually Davos is just photo ops in snow boots and some vague mission statements about synergy. But this year, the tone shifted dramatically. You had an unprecedented joint appearance on the main stage, Elon Musk and Tim Cook.
Which is culturally significant on its own. I mean, you don't usually see Tesla and Apple sharing a microphone like that. They occupy very different philosophical lanes in Silicon Valley. Musk is usually chaos and speed. Cook is precision and privacy.
They do. But they were united by a single, very expensive problem. They're calling it the Silicon Valley Red Alert. Basically, the global chip shortage hasn't just continued. It has mutated. We've been talking about supply chain issues since the early 20s. But what Musk and Cook laid out is that the demand for AI-specific compute has completely outstripped the world's ability to manufacture the physical wafers.
And this isn't just, we can't make enough iPhones, right? This isn't about consumer gadgets running out of stock.
Not at all. No, this is hitting the infrastructure. It's hitting the growth engines of the entire economy. Musk specifically noted that Tesla's expansion of full self-driving fleets and their back-end AI training clusters, which are massive, they're being throttled. He can't get the compute to train the cars.
Wow. And Cook.
And Cook mentioned that production for the new A-series and M-series chips, the ones powering the Vision Pro 2 and the new Macs, is stalling.
The numbers in the report were stark. They mentioned a 30% increase in manufacturing costs across the board. That is a massive inflationary pressure when you're operating at the scale of, like, an Apple.
It is. And the insight here for you, the listener, isn't just that chips are expensive. It's why they're expensive. The report highlights our continued over-reliance on specific geographic choke points, specifically Taiwan and South Korea.
Right. We've been hearing about this for years.
We have. And despite all the talk about onshoring production to the U.S. and Europe, those domestic fabs just aren't spinning up fast enough to meet the 2026 demand curve.
So it feels like we built the race car engine but forgot to buy the gas. So what's the prognosis? Are we looking at a quick fix?
Far from it. The consensus from the analysts at the summit is that we're locked into the scarcity until at least 2027. They're effectively saying the old logistical maps of the world are broken and the new ones aren't drawn yet. We're in the gap.
That is a precarious place to be. But this is where that split-screen effect comes in that we mentioned at the top. While we're struggling to manufacture the microscopic brains, the chips, the bodies, the physical robots are having a renaissance. I want to pivot to the news about Boston Dynamics, because this feels like a genuine leap forward.
It is. If you've been following robotics for the last decade, you know the old Atlas robot. It was YouTube sensation, right? Doing backflips and parkour. But if you ever saw one in person or even just listened closely to the audio on those videos, you knew the catch.
It sounded like a lawnmower fighting a jet engine.
Exactly. It was hydraulic. It was pressurized fluid pumping through hoses. Heavy, messy, and incredibly loud. The news today is that the hydraulic era is officially dead. Boston Dynamics has released the new Atlas, and it's fully electric.
Okay, so why is that shift from hydraulic to electric such a big deal technically? Is it just about the noise?
The noise is part of it, for sure. I mean, you can't have a deafening robot working next to a human on an assembly line. But it's really about efficiency and control. Hydraulic systems are powerful, but they're leaky in terms of energy. You lose a lot just maintaining pressure. Electric actuators, basically high-torque motors at the joints, are precise. The new Atlas is 40% lighter, but stronger. It has 56 degrees of freedom.
Okay, let's unpack that. 56 degrees of freedom. Break that down for us. What does that actually let the robot do?
A degree of freedom is essentially a way a joint can move up, down, twist left, twist right. The human body has incredible range, but this robot actually exceeds human range in some joints. It can rotate its torso or limbs in ways that would, you know, snap a human bone. This allows for what they call uncanny efficiency.
uncanny is a good word for it.
It really is. It doesn't need to turn around to pick something up behind it. It just rotates the arm and torso 180 degrees while its legs stay put. It moves like an owl's head, but with its whole body.
That's both an amazing and a slightly terrifying visual.
It is very sci-fi. But the key metric here for the business side is energy. It's 60% more energy efficient. That means it can run a full shift on a battery. And that's why the headline isn't just cool robot. It's the partnership with Hyundai.
Right, they aren't just making these for YouTube likes anymore.
No. The projection is 1,000 units deployed in automotive factories by 2028.
That's right around the corner.
It is. We are moving from the experimental prototype phase to the commercial deployment phase. These things are going to be hanging doors and installing seats alongside humans in less than 2 years.
So we have a hardware crisis squeezing the chips, but the robotics hardware is ready to scale. Now, I want to move to the software side of things, specifically logistics. We've got a source here on Amazon that paints a picture of what they're calling the autonomous organization.
This is News 5 in your stack. And frankly, this is the story that affects your daily life the most, even if it's invisible to you. Amazon has rolled out an end-to-end AI agent system across 100 warehouses.
Okay, we hear the term agent thrown around a lot in 2026. How is this different from just an algorithm?
Great question. An algorithm follows a set of rules. If X happens, do Y. An agent has a goal and figures out how to achieve it. Amazon's system is described as a flywheel. You have massive transformer-based models, similar to the tech behind ChatGPT, but trained on logistics data that are forecasting demand.
Forecasting demand. So, guessing what I'm going to buy.
Predicting it with frightening accuracy. It isn't just guessing, it's positioning inventory. The AI decides the host is likely to buy this specific brand of coffee on Tuesday, so it moves that coffee to a warehouse 5 miles from your house on Monday. It schedules the truck. It instructs the robots, all without a human manager approving the transfer.
And inside the warehouse, the cast of characters has expanded. It's not just the little orange Roomba-looking discs moving shelves anymore.
No, the fleet has evolved significantly. You have Proteus, which is their first fully autonomous mobile robot that operates in open spaces with humans. It doesn't need a cage. Then you have the robotic arms, Robin, Cardinal, and Sparrow.
They sound like a flock of birds.
A very precise flock. Sparrow is the standout here. It uses computer vision and suction to pick individual items of varying shapes and sizes, a tube of lipstick, a board game, a soft t-shirt, and stack them. This used to be the holy grail of robotics because grasping weirdly shaped objects is incredibly hard for machines. Sparrow has solved it.
The efficiency gains mentioned are staggering, cost down 25%, sorting time cut by 75%. From a business perspective, this is a utopia.
It is a logistical miracle, but, and there's always a but in our deep dives, the source material highlights the dark shadows of this efficiency. To make this agentic model work, it needs data, an immense amount of it.
They mentioned a program called Wellspring.
Right. Wellspring isn't just tracking packages. It's mapping customer geolocation with extreme precision to feed those predictive models. But the darker shadow is inside the warehouse. The source explicitly mentions automated terminations.
That stopped me in my tracks. Mm-hmm. The AI fires people.
Essentially, yes. The productivity tracking is granular. If the algorithm determines you aren't keeping pace with Proteus or Sparrow, or if your time off task exceeds a threshold, the system flags you. In some cases, the paperwork is generated automatically.
That feels like a dystopian novel. You're being managed by a machine that doesn't sleep and doesn't understand having a bad day.
It raises a massive risk that the source calls a civilizational turning point. We're handing over agency to these models. But what happens if the model hallucinates? What if the agent optimizes for efficiency in a way that breaks safety laws or causes a supply chain collapse?
Fragility again. The system is faster, but it's brittle. If one variable in the agentic model is wrong, it could cascade across 100 warehouses instantly.
Exactly. And speaking of brittle relationships between humans and AI, we need to talk about the standoff at the Pentagon. This is probably the most consequential story in the stack today.
This is the ideological war. We have the Pentagon, the massive, unstoppable force of the U.S. military, in a staring contest with Anthropic, one of the leading AI labs. And there's a contract worth up to $500 million just hanging in the balance.
This is an earthquake in the defense sector. Usually when the Pentagon waves $500 million, defense contractors trip over themselves to sign. But Anthropic is saying no.
Let's clarify the terms here. What is the Pentagon asking for, and where is Anthropic drawing the line?
The Pentagon wants to license Anthropic's latest model, Claude 3.5 Sonnet, for all lawful purposes. In military speak, that includes weapons development, tactical intelligence, and field operations. Basically, they want to plug the AI into the war machine.
And Anthropic.
Anthropic is pointing to their constitution. They're insisting on strict contractual restrictions, no fully autonomous weapons usage, and no mass domestic surveillance. They're willing to walk away from the deal rather than compromise on those two points.
Now, for the listener who might be wondering, why does the Pentagon care so much about this specific AI? Why not just use a different one or build their own?
That is the irony. The Pentagon wants Claude because it's ethical. Or rather, because the architecture that makes it ethical also makes it secure.
Explain that connection. How does ethics equal security in code?
It comes down to constitutional AI. Unlike other models that are trained primarily on human feedback, where humans just click good answer or bad answer, Claude is trained against a set of principles. It self-evaluates. The source provides some fascinating data from jailbreak tests.
These are tests where hackers try to trick the AI into doing something forbidden, right?
Yeah.
Like writing malware or giving instructions for a bioweapon.
Correct. In these classified tests, Claude 3.5 Sonnet had a failure rate, meaning the hackers won of less than 5%.
That is incredibly low. How did the competitors fare?
The source notes that GPT-40 and similar tiered models showed approximately 20% vulnerability in the same tests.
Wow. So a 1 in 5 chance of being subverted versus a 1 in 20 chance.
In a military context, that margin is everything. The Pentagon realizes that constitutional AI creates a harder, more resilient bunker. They want the security of the bunker, but Anthropic won't give them the keys if they plan to store weapons inside it.
It's a paradox. The feature that makes the tool desirable is the same feature that prevents its use.
Precisely. Defense officials are quoted in the report admitting that replacing Claude is challenging. If this deal collapses, they have to switch to less secure competitors. That creates a national security risk using a leakier brain to handle classified data.
So we have the military struggling to trust the AI companies, or rather the AI companies not trusting the military. But this trust crisis isn't limited to the Situation Room. It's bleeding into the corporate world, too.
It is. News 6 in our stack brings us back to the stock market. We saw a $1 trillion drop in U.S. tech stocks over just 4 days.
That is a correction with a capital C. What triggered it?
Reality setting in. An MIT study was released showing that 60% of enterprise AI projects are failing. We've spent the last 2 years in the hype cycle throwing money at generative AI. Now we're in the disillusionment phase.
Why are they failing? Is the tech not good enough?
The tech is fine. The governance is non-existent. The report cites shadow AI as a primary driver.
Define that for us, shadow AI.
It's when employees go rogue, they use AI tools that haven't been vetted by IT, they paste proprietary code into a public chatbot to debug it, or upload sensitive customer data to a summarizer. It creates massive security holes. The RAND Institute adds another grim stat. An 80% failure rate for AI projects overall. That is double the failure rate of normal IT projects.
So companies bought the Ferrari, but they didn't build the roads or teach anyone how to drive.
And now they're crashing. But because the market hates a vacuum, there's already a solution being pitched. Microsoft has entered the chat.
This is the Agent Trust Signals announcement.
Right. Microsoft is rolling out a layer called the Azure Observability Agent. It's built on Zero Trust architecture.
Zero Trust sounds, well, paranoid. But I guess that's the point.
In cybersecurity, paranoia is a virtue. Zero trust means the system assumes everything is a threat, even the AI agent itself, until verified. This new tool monitors the AI's behavior in real time, specifically looking for hallucinations or unauthorized data access.
The speed mentioned is impressive. Detection in less than 100 milliseconds.
It has to be faster than human thought. If an AI agent starts doing something weird like accessing a database it shouldn't, this watchdog shuts it down in a tenth of a second. Over 500 Fortune 500 companies are already testing it. It's the industry admitting, we can't just deploy these things, we have to watch them like hawks.
So let's zoom out and look at the map we've drawn today. It's a complex picture.
It is. On one side, we have undeniable physical progress. The hydraulic lines are gone. Electric robots like Atlas are ready to work. Amazon has proven that AI agents can run a logistical empire with superhuman efficiency.
But that capability is fenced in. It's constrained by the physical world, the chip shortage Musk and Cook are screaming about. And it's constrained by the psychological world, the crisis of trust. The Pentagon can't get the AI it wants because of ethics. Corporations can't use the AI they have because of governance.
That is the perfect summary. The technology is ready. Claude 3.5 is ready. Electric Atlas is ready. But the integration into human society is the bottleneck. 2026 isn't about the invention anymore. It's about the friction of integration.
And that friction is where the danger lies.
It is.
I want to leave the listener with a thought that's been nagging me since we discussed the Anthropic story. It's a bit of a chilling what if.
Go for it.
We established that the most ethical AI models, the ones with constitutions, are also the most secure and hardest to hack. If those models refuse to go to war, does that mean nations will be forced to rely on dumber, more vulnerable, less ethical AI models for their nuclear command and control?
That is the question. By insisting on ethics, are we accidentally pushing the military toward incompetence? Are we increasing the risk of a catastrophe by using second-rate brains to control first-rate weapons?
It's a heavy question, but that's why we do the deep dive. We'll be watching to see who blinks first, the Pentagon or the programmers. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.